Good afternoon from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau. I'm Yvonne Crumery. The federal government is suing a former chair of Juneau's Docks and Harbors Board for nearly $1 million spent to raise his sunken tugboat from Gatineau Channel in 2023. The Justice Department filed suit last month against longtime Juneau resident Don Etheridge and his wife Teresa in Alaska's U.S. District Court. Etheridge owned the Tagish, a 107-foot World War II-era wooden tugboat. He spent decades attempting to restore it as a hobby project. It sank in the channel just south of Juneau's cruise ship docks, where it was moored in December 2022. It had approximately 60 gallons of diesel fuel and 50 gallons of lube oil on board when it sank. Multiple agencies, including the U.S. Coast Guard, were called in to address the pollution threat. According to the complaint filed in federal court, a federal administrative order was issued to Etheridge at the time of the vessel sinking, saying that he needed to establish a plan to remove it from the water. The order said that the sunken boat posed a, quote, substantial threat to public health and the welfare of the environment. However, Etheridge didn't have insurance for the vessel and couldn't front the cost, so the Federal Oil Spill Liability Trust Fund paid for the recovery effort. The vessel sat in the water for 2 months before it was removed. The National Pollution Fund Center then sent Etheridge the bill for over $900,000 in November of last year, but he hasn't paid a dime, according to the complaint. Etheridge declined to speak with KTOO regarding the lawsuit. In previous interviews, he said he was unsure how he'd pay for the recovery. Derelict vessels are a growing problem in Alaska. A similar federal lawsuit was filed against the owner of a different World War II tugboat, the Challenger, which sank in Gatineau Channel in 2015. The MV Lumberman, yet another World War II-era tug, drifted up and down the channel before the Coast Guard finally towed it away and sank it in 2021. And last month, the Justice Department also charged three fishermen in Alaska for intentionally sinking their boats. The Juneau School District and its support staff union reached a tentative agreement yesterday, almost 1 year after both parties initially exchanged proposed contracts. The tentative agreement is a three-year contract for an estimated 286 members of Juneau Education Support Staff, or JESS, according to an announcement from the district. That includes employees who work as paraeducators, custodians, office assistants, and more. The contract increases wages and employer contributions to health insurance. If it's approved, it would raise the hourly wage for all positions by $2 this school year and provide for back pay retroactive to June 2025, when the last contract ended. It also includes 3% wage increases for the next two school years. Special education paraeducator Phil Butel is the vice president of JESS. He says it's been a, quote, long road to reach a tentative agreement.
It was hard. It was a lot of back and forth. Both sides were pretty intent on getting things that they wanted. Ultimately, where we ended up, I think, was a really good, solid middle ground.
Now, Butel says the union is gearing up for members to vote to ratify the agreement. That requires at least half of the voting members' approval. From there, the contract will go to the school board for approval, which will require two readings. Superintendent Frank Hauser says it'll take some time before the district determines how much the contract will impact its budget.
We've got the tentative agreement and waiting to hear back from JESS and JESS membership if that tentative agreement is ratified. At that point, once that happens, we'll start working on doing the updates to the budget and presenting that as part of the FY27 budget development process.
School Board President Brittany Cioni Hayward says she's happy the district reached an agreement with the union. This is her first time going through the negotiation process as a board member, and she says state funding can make it challenging to run the school district and negotiate with staff.
I think it's really difficult, given kind of the constraints of education funding in the state, to do all the things that we need to do, and that includes negotiations with our incredibly valuable staff.
That leaves one union left without a new contract. The Juneau Education Association, the union representing teachers, has been in negotiations for more than a year. It has an arbitration hearing with the district scheduled for next month. The tentative agreement between JESS and the district is not public. A district representative said in an email the contract will not be publicly available until it's ratified by the union. Butel, with the union, says they hope to ratify the contract ahead of the school board's March 10th meeting. How many snow days is too many before the Juneau school year extends into the summer? The Juneau School District hasn't reached that point, according to its chief of staff, Kristen Bartlett. That's partially because the district was able to get some lost days waived by the state due to extraordinary weather. And while Juneau has seen a lot of snow in the past few days, the district hasn't taken a day off. Bartlett says the district has a process for deciding whether or not to close schools on snowy days.
at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. The superintendent connects with the First Student Bus Company, and they have gone out to drive the routes and look at the condition of the roads there.
Then the superintendent speaks with the city manager, the Alaska Department of Transportation, and the National Weather Service in Juneau.
Take all of that input into consideration and make a decision about whether or not they'll be school. And then we get the word out.
Juneau schools closed for 3 days in early January due to extreme weather from heavy rain falling on the feet of snow already on the ground. The city issued avalanche evacuation advisories during the storm. The district submitted a request asking the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development to waive those days as emergency closures. The state approved the waiver earlier this week. During and after the weather emergency, some schools had to close to clear the roofs. Bartlett said students and teachers were set up for remote learning then. As for why remote learning isn't always employed on bad weather days, Bartlett says sometimes the weather changes without warning and students don't have their equipment. Other times, staff are also impacted by citywide weather-related emergencies.
So they might not be able to do the remote instruction part. Like, the students might be available to learn, but the teachers are dealing with the flood in their house or dealing, you know, maybe they've evacuated from an avalanche zone or they have to clear the snow off of their roof.
And it's not just snow. This year, the school year was delayed one day when schools closed August 14th in response to the glacial outburst flooding emergency. The state waived that day as an emergency closure as well. The district didn't request an emergency waiver for one snow day in December. So while there have been 5 weather closures this school year, 4 of them were waived by the state. And Bartlett says the school year is 4 days longer than the state's minimum, which leaves some padding for those snow days. And the Juneau School District has one of the oldest school-based hunter education programs in Alaska. Its current teacher recently won the state's Hunter Educator of the Year award after bringing back hunter education into the classroom. KTLO's Jamie Deep swung by the class for a day and has the story.
Need or want air?
Need,
right? You need to breathe air, and if you're not breathing air, you're not getting oxygen throughout your body. And so
James White goes through a list of wants and needs for survival with 7th graders on a recent Friday morning. White is the hunter education teacher at Thunder Mountain Middle School. Students sit around countertops equipped with sinks, sand mixers, and various cooking equipment. Moose antlers are propped up on top of several refrigerators at the front of the classroom, and microwaves are tucked into cabinets in the back. As part of survival and hunting skills, White teaches students first aid, CPR, firearm safety, and basic cooking. White says he cooks game meat for students, and it's one of the main ways to get buy-in from them.
He made us moose meatballs and mountain goat stew.
Ooh, how was that?
Amazing.
That's 7th grader Scotland Beck. She's excited about learning basic cooking skills, which is part of the class.
I want to learn how to make spaghetti because that's my little brother's favorite meal, so I can make it for him.
White was recently awarded the Hunter Educator of the Year Award by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game for his work on the program. He says the skills he teaches allow students to apply many different math and science concepts to something practical.
What we're doing here is really unique, but it's also exactly how education should be when you're bringing in cooking to math and to science and firearm safety to physics and anatomy, chemistry. I mean, it really is holistic in the approach that we take.
It took time to make the course a part of the school day, though. Last year, White taught hunter education as an after-school club. Though either way, class or club, he says it's a community effort to teach students these skills. Guest speakers from Fish and Game and Bartlett Regional Hospital teach about wildlife conservation and first aid skills. And the Taku River Sportsmen Association donates money to cover the cost of the students' hunter education certification through the state, which lasts a lifetime.
So many people are willing to give up time to teach these skills, but you know, some of it's also because I'm going to share the woods with these kids too. You know, I want to make sure that they're going to be safe when I see them, or when the other instructors share time and come across them, you know, in a muskeg and see them wearing their hunter orange. Like, it's like, oh, cool. All right. Like, this kid knows what's up.
But the most important part for White is teaching students to be safe and empowered in hunting.
I'm trying to kind of plant those seeds of empowerment, and giving them those opportunities to kind of guide whatever their life ends up being, but seeing how unique and how amazing, you know, what we have here in Juneau and our community is, and what's allowed people to live and be successful living here is that connection to the land and that respect for it.
Students still have a couple more months to go before they can earn their basic hunting certification at the end of the school year in May. When they finish the course, they can move on to the life skills class in eighth grade to take their cooking and survival skills to the next level. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And Alaska lawmakers are preaching caution as war in Iran and across much of the Middle East pushes oil prices higher. The U.S. oil price benchmark rose $8 between Friday and Tuesday, or about 12%. So far, analysts say it's a relatively moderate reaction from the oil markets, and a prolonged conflict or wider war could push prices even higher. But Senator Bert Stedman, a Sitka Republican and co-chair of the Senate Finance Committee, says even a short-term bump in oil prices could reduce the amount the state has to draw from savings to make ends meet this year. And that could amount to tens or hundreds of millions of dollars that would otherwise come from a dwindling savings account. But Stedman says lawmakers shouldn't count on a sustained price increase.
We don't want to get into a position of overspending in the budget and have a snapback in overly optimistic oil prices. So we want to be a little careful.
Oil prices have an outsized impact on Alaska's budget. It's not the state's largest revenue source anymore, but it's by far the most volatile. A $1 change in oil prices swings the state budget by $25 to $35 million, according to legislative budgeters. House Minority Leader Delaina Johnson, a Palmer Republican, says she's taking a similar view.
If this keeps us from having to go into savings, well, that's great. I don't think we should elevate spending based on the elevated oil prices, though.
Ahead of the session, the bipartisan Democrat-heavy Senate majority listed increasing state revenue as its top goal for the year. Lawmakers are considering a variety of tax proposals to address a long-running structural deficit that emerged when oil prices collapsed in the mid-2010s. Senator Lyman Hoffman, a Bethel Democrat and co-chair of the Senate Finance Committee, says lawmakers should remain focused on those efforts to raise revenue.
I think the bigger question is, what are we going to do as a state to balance our checkbook on the long term and address the needs that our citizens expect of us?
Lawmakers are set to receive an updated state revenue forecast in mid-March. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 29 degrees and still snowing. We're likely to get some more snow tonight, but overnight it may turn to rain, and it looks like it's meant to rain and snow all day tomorrow and Friday. This is KTOO.